au moins discret. Fais le bas des camps, des corps qu'on a laissé sur l'asphalte. La musique avait des fesses, la scène sourde, mais un ass flat. Je vise le palmarès, la TA, elle est le flip. Reste qu'on n'est pas comparable.
So back. This is CKUT 90.3, and you are listening to the first 2024 edition of Girls Meet World.
Yay! Woo!
Hey. Yay! Just to recap, I am Kat, a second-year student at McGill. I'm joined by my other host.
I'm Carla, a third-year student at McGill.
And Adele, a French student at McGill, second year as well.
We are missing our loyal fourth host, Zoe, but hopefully next time we shall see her.
Yeah, and that song was Ring of Paths by Men I Trust. We played it last episode, but only like not even 10 seconds of it before we had to cut to the other show. So
we thought we owed our dedicated listeners who were so distraught to make sure they heard the rest of the song.
Oh, I forgot to tell you guys. Okay, so I went to pre-record a segment for something here, and as I was leaving the station, I was talking to a friend of mine, mm-hmm. and someone was like, oh my God, you do Girls Meet World. I recognize your voice. So we do have listeners.
Wow. That is really good to hear.
We do have listeners. I didn't catch your name, but whoever you are, thank you for listening to the show.
I hope she's here now. He, she, all of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
I hope all of you are, yeah,
Girls
enjoy.
Girls Meet World caters to absolutely everybody.
Yeah.
We were talking before we got on about how much we were so not looking forward to coming back. I think that's one of the things about second year, that all novelty of first year is off the table. And now it's back to the grind. And I'm not having it, frankly, to be honest.
Yeah, I remember second year, you're kind of like, I want to get this over with.
Slightly, yeah. Or yeah. Just the break doesn't feel the same anymore. It's not like that whole of like, oh, I'm dying to get back. Like, no, I'm exhausted.
Exactly.
And not even halfway through the degree. It's probably going to get worse.
Why do we have 4 months of vacation in the summer and just 2 weeks from a winter break? Yeah, it's just...
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
You guys didn't go to CJEP, but the one thing I really liked about CJEP is we had a 1 month break during winter.
That's amazing.
And that was really nice.
Well, from what I can recall right now, they're still on strike now, aren't they, in Quebec?
No, they've gone back because they've got a deal and they have to vote on it.
Oh.
And if they vote yes, then like strike is like officially over. And okay. If they vote no, then they have to kind of go back to the drawing board.
That's craziness. I remember that was the one thing from high school. I always wished for a strike. Yes. In Ontario, I think it was when I was in elementary school. And I knew that in high school, they got something like 2-3 months off or something like that. And let me tell you, I prayed every single day for that.
Yeah.
In high school. And unfortunately, no, that did not happen. But yeah, so... Obviously, it was Christmas over the break, and Christmas wishlets, I don't know, personally, I don't know about you guys, it's never really been my thing.
Like resolutions?
No, more like wishlists, like what do you want for Christmas?
Oh,
like
giving okay.
That for your family. I remember I was in class, and this girl in front of me was full on like, you know, bold, underlined Christmas wishlist 2023, yeah. And honestly, but I feel like that's really like proactive, and yet I never thought to do something like that.
No.
My wish list is always money. And then I buy what I want with the money that you gave me.
Like that works out. I've never been one of those people, but I always thought, okay, even if other people do that, like that's mostly like probably something around our age you do. But one of the interesting things I saw even on Twitter, you gotta give it to me for that intro. Come on. was this new phenomenon. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't know what I was asking for Christmas. I think when I was 9, I asked for a Tinkerbell doll, something like that. And I saw now on Twitter for Christmas, 9-year-olds, or this girl, I think it was her aunt. She posted her...
Yes, I saw that video, yeah.
And it was her niece's wish list for Christmas. And it was filled with drunk elephant skincare, Sephora. I think the one of them was even like a bodycon dress. I don't even know. Something like that. But I was more specific.
Stanley Cup has been a big one.
Like, what does a 9-year-old need to... Anyway, that's what I
think. And not the hockey trophy, but like, you know, the mug. Because people were like, oh, I need to buy a Stanley Cup. And I was like, you can buy those? And then it's like, oh, no, it's the actual like cup that you can drink from.
I think I saw that on TikTok. Like some girl's husband was like, but you don't even like hockey. But no, it was so insane to me. The idea of like skincare. I mean, I know like even having a 15-step skincare routine now, even just for like my age, I think it's so, I mean, it's probably pointless from like a statistician point of view. I don't know.
Yeah, because your skin is young, so you're just like blasting it with chemicals. And yeah, exactly. So I can't imagine giving that to a 9-year-old.
A 9-year-old is kind of young. Yeah.
What does a 9-year-old need vitamin E serum for?
I don't know. When I was like, I think the first ever skincare product I bought was like the St. Ives.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Walnut scrub that you're not walnut, but the scrub that you're not supposed to use because it's too harsh on your skin. But that's like everyone's like first and like.
Yeah.
The Neutrogena cleanser.
I think it was that. And do you guys remember Mario Badescu rose water?
Yeah.
Do you have that one? That was, I think it was still probably like Brandy Melville kind of thing. It was like a huge thing to have that. I'm telling you, it did absolutely nothing. And I was convinced it. I used to like mix it with water when I ran out. I was putting nothing on my face. And I was convinced like the placebo effect was going to save me. But yeah, like that was again when I got to like high school. I can't even imagine when I was 9. I don't know. I thought that was weird. Like, you know, I see on TikTok now, especially, I reference TikTok like crazy on here. You know, you see like 13-year-olds like dressed in makeup. And that's not inherently wrong because I think creativity and self-expression is obviously.
Also, there's also makeup for kids.
Yeah. And I definitely had like, again, like I'm not lying here. Okay, it wasn't Sephora.
No.
But like I even have, you know, like
the drugstore.
As a little girl, like the little, the lip gloss little packets and stuff like that. You know, you did your makeup on like a doll's face or something, but. I like, it's insane to me, especially even how old they look, because it's not makeup that's meant for,
There's not only makeup. I've seen girls in middle school or in primary school, no, actually in primary school, who dress like, you know, we would dress, you know, like very crop tops.
Yeah.
And like, it's normal. I mean, for older people to wear these kind of things. When you're in primary school, my mother dressed me, and yeah, I don't know, it's so much different. So I don't know if it's like a generation thing, like a fashion thing.
Yeah, I take the bus. I pass by like two high schools when I take the bus, so I tend to see a lot of high schoolers. And I see like they look like they're in like sec one, sec two by the way they speak, but I wouldn't know it by the way they look. Like lash extension,
yeah,
and like acrylic nails, and I'm like, aren't you a little bit young for that? Like,
yeah. I think it was more because I also don't want to deny that there's always been that thing of like, especially let's say you had like a big sister,
yeah,
as a little girl, you always emulated like the older girls you would see. Of course, that lifestyle was very intriguing, but I don't think it was ever actually executed as much. There definitely was like the trying on clothes, like in my room and like pretending I'm like, especially like those are like bikinis or crop tops and stuff like that. I definitely did, but I don't think I ever actually went outside with it. And I think that's the difference now that I think it's not just more of that like in the house kind of thing that you're playing dress up by yourself, because you're always going to want to be older and be cooler. But now that it's actually like it's normalized and that by that age, it is so important, I can attest to this, to have an awkward, ugly middle school
stage. The tween phase,
it's
yes.
It's so important.
Yeah. Yes.
It's so important. It's like there's absolutely no shame in it. It's cute to look back. It's like you have, especially as a woman, you have your entire life to worry about how you want to look if you want to do that. Yeah. It's going to be the trajectory. Like you're always, especially, and that's I think what the saddest thing about it is that high school is the epicenter for being insecure about your looks.
Yeah.
To already have it before middle school too, it's just,
yeah,
why rush that?
It's, I don't know if
is that linked with having phones much younger?
It's gotta be that. I don't know if you saw the video of, I think she was like 14 and it was like my skincare routine to avoid having wrinkles.
What? Like that is insane to me. Yeah, I think it's this whole, well, that has a lot to even do with just the beauty standard in general, that I don't think we were ever meant to be exposed to this many beautiful people. Like, and you also, you never know how old they are. You know, you just see, because you see, like, I don't know, but again, I don't know how much I mean that, because then I'm sure in, like, the 2000s when it wasn't, like, as quick as on your phone to go see, like, social media, like, it was still okay. You saw, like, Britney Spears at the VMAs, and you definitely wanted to look like her, but I don't know. It's not the same.
A point of view I've heard on that is that there's like an erasure of like teen and tween spaces.
Yes.
Where there's not that many places for you to like hang out. And like they don't go to like, we don't have it here, like Claire's.
Yeah.
Which here I think the equivalent would maybe be like Ardenne. Because I remember me and my friends, we would go to like Ardenne. That was like the store that you would go to. But like Ardenne is not as popping as it used to be.
No.
I think we had like Joshua Peretz. That's, I'm pretty sure that's dead.
Yeah.
So, like, what spaces do you have if you're...
Another even, like, I don't know. I can't think of one. That's a really good point, though. Like, even, I'm sure you could link that to a bunch of other things. But the fact that as a, like, you know, as, like, a teen, you can't really go, or tween, I think, more specifically here. Like, you can't really go to the mall and even buy something quick because everything's going to be crazy money now.
Well, not
I,
only that.
When I was a teen, I was scared of even just going to a store. By
myself, yeah, so. There's that too. But not only that, but there's so much security on, like, teenagers nowadays. I live near a Dollarama. They have a security guards for hours, like, you know, in break hours when you know there's like lunchtime or after school, they have security guards, and like you're not allowed to be like big groups of people. You have to go like one at a time. Yeah. You need to leave your bag to the side, and like and they check your bag, or they check what you bought. Like, once, like, you don't want to go out if you're going to be like surveilled like that.
Yeah, of course. I don't know if this is like kind of paradoxical to what I just said, because we just explained a lot of tweens that are acting too old for their age. But what's funny is I read a survey that I think they took it in like 2000s, like certain milestones that teens had reached by the time they were 16 or something, or like let's say maybe like 18. There was stuff like got their driver's license. Also, that's not me. I can't drive. But
I can, but
I don't. I'm almost there.
Almost there. Like first kiss, something like snuck out, like stupid, like teenage things. And okay.
Yes.
Like,
I remember. Cause there was a headline that like teens are having sex later.
Yes.
And less frequently than they used to.
Yeah. And it was something that like teens on average today have had less milestone experiences compared to like their early 2000s counterparts. And I thought that was really interesting. And I think there's maybe some of it of like, you know, because we're exposed to so many like niche micro communities that it's very okay to take things at your own pace now, and you're not feeling as excluded if you haven't done these things. And that's great, because you obviously shouldn't be pressured to do these things if you don't want to. But it's weird that like, I don't think that's the case for everybody, that it's like a personal choice. There's got to be something that these spaces aren't, not that
I'm, I mean,
encouraging everyone to go out there and have their first kiss.
A reoccurring theme that we've had in like these past few episode is like, because we're living in a time of like great loneliness and like, you know, what do we owe each other? Of like, we've become very, very antisocial. Mm-hmm. And it's very hard to have these like teen experiences if you're antisocial, because good luck trying to get your first kiss if you just don't want to talk to people. Yeah.
That's also, that's really true. I was actually, I'm actually gonna reference a guy from high school now. So he, not that he's gonna listen to this. He doesn't follow me. But that actually totally, it's making me come to my senses here. So I had this guy in high school and we were wheeling, which is talking. So that's like, again, a talking stage, which again, I could get into a whole episode about that, how ridiculous that is now.
Situationships,
like what the hell. But I remember it was something like we were talking on Snapchat, as one does, for so long. But again, because of that, was there was that medium now that it wasn't like it used to be, where I don't know, we had classes together, but no, we didn't talk there, only on Snapchat. Or that even people say that on TikTok a lot, of like, oh, me when I pass my talking stage in the hallway and we don't say anything to each other, even though we were talking on the phone last night. That's low-key crazy.
You know, about the whole, like, oh, I'm so DeLulu. Like, I don't know if... Because I was really, really shy in high school, where it's like, I went to private school, so this wouldn't apply. I'm going to wear blue today because blue is his favorite color, and I'm going to manifest that he's going to talk to me because I wore a blue shirt. Like, same thing.
Yeah. And this guy specifically, since we only talked on Snapchat, I remember he had said something like, I think we had been talking now for like 5 months or something. Again, this is like grade nine. So talking is very like, what's your favorite color? Although low-key could be the same now. But I asked him, I was like, okay, so can we like hang out like one-on-one? And he was like, I don't know if I'm ready.
And I just hang out, you mean go out?
Yeah, like just him and I. And I wasn't like, even talking like couple. A date. Just like, okay. Go to the movies with me or something. Okay. He's like, I'm not ready. That's too much. But let's keep talking on the phone for like another month.
And on the phone, like text messages?
Yes, just texting too. Like FaceTime was too much. That's like already a whole new, like, that's a, like, okay. I think it's just in putting of like already.
Did you see the TikTok of the girl that was like, I forgot what, it was something to the effect of like holding, to a lot of people in Gen Z, holding hands is too much commitment, but you're fine with casually hooking up with people.
Oh my God, that totally reminds me. You guys know the Rice purity test, right?
Yes.
So the first question on it is, ever held hands romantically? And people show their test scores of like, okay, the idea is that if you have a lower score, the less of an innocent person you are. They have crazy questions on there. Anything from like, had sex for the first time, had a threesome, like crazy things. And so obviously 100 would be you've done nothing on the list, and like 20 would be you've been crazy. But there are people on there who will say like their score is like below 30 and they've still never done the first option. And that's like, I don't think that was as normal as it was before.
Yeah.
Even if you were experienced, there was like... Well, now we're entering the situation thing. And now we're entering that talk.
We've really strayed far away from kids at Sephora. But just to kind of wrap a bow on the like, kiss from Sephora as we move on to other things. I think that people don't talk about is the parents. Because, like,
yes,
I'm sorry. Like, at 10, I could have gone to Sephora.
Yeah.
But I couldn't buy anything. And if I went to my mom and been like, can I get $50 to buy a moisturizer? My mom is going to go like, no, I'm not going to buy you a $50 moisturizer.
Yeah.
So, parents, they bear
did
some...
Did you have pocket money? I didn't.
No,
I got, really. $10 a week, which, like...
I don't really know how it worked. I think if I said I was going to the mall, I would get something.
Yeah.
But nothing, like, we're talking, like, enough to get, like, a pretzel. This wasn't, go have fun in Sephora. Absolutely not.
No, and in high school, I think once I got, like, a job, my parents were like, you have your own money.
Yeah.
Like, deal with it. And now it's, like, I have a job, but it's, like, not enough because of inflation. So my parents give me money every once in a while. But, like, it's not enough to buy a I would not buy a $50 moisturizer now when I have a job. Like, you know.
But I mean, like, okay, when I was in middle school, it was like the era, 2016 era, you guys can relate, of like, okay, James Charles. And like, her name was her name Tassie? Tassie? No, I don't know.
Nikki Tutorials.
Tati?
Yeah, Tati. Yes,
like, huge makeup influencer. So yeah, during that time, definitely. Oh, or Jaclyn Hill, her huge ass eyeshadow palette. Like,
I still regret not buying that before they changed the formula.
Yeah. But see, like, during that time, So that time, I definitely was influenced, and there was no reason why, as like a 14-year-old, I needed a 50-color eyeshadow palette for what. So I think, but see, that was more had to do with self-expression. That was more like a, I don't know, maybe not. Maybe I'm being a little hypocritical.
I don't know. I feel like makeup I can always justify more, because like I wore makeup in high school. I'm wearing makeup now.
But I'm specifically as a tween, because high school is like, that's when I started wearing makeup consistently.
High school, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, senior year of high school is when I started wearing it, like, kind of every day.
But it's the same thing as I was mentioning before, is like, there is just, it's just sad. Like, I'm not even saying that from like a, it's sad to watch this as a grown-up adult.
But it's sad that you have to conform from,
there is so much time from when you're in high school that you can have that insecurity, and it'll be around you, and then it can be a positive choice if you want to stray away from it. But to start in tweens, oh my God, like, it's just,
yeah, because no tween spaces are not there anymore. Disney Channel doesn't even exist anymore.
That is true.
The CW has been gutted.
Yeah.
They don't have any shows anymore. So, like, you kind of have to jump from, like, childhood to, like, you know, being a full-grown teenager. And it's kind of sad.
Yeah, that's true. I think, I was trying to think of also, where's, like, the, those innocent crushes again? Although, they weren't so innocent. I'm sure if you had, like, a crush on, like, a One Direction member, you could go and find some crazy fan fiction on there when you were a tween if you wanted. But I think now I'm talking about, like, you don't, there's not really, like, a celebrity to crush on like that, or maybe I'm crazy.
Jacob
Elordi.
Like culture's not as homogenized as it used to be, so there's not like a universal.
Yeah, a little bit like that, but even like a specifically curated like boy band like teen member, or like some guy or girl.
Oh, like the teen crushes,
like a tween crush,
like the Justin Bieber's.
Yeah, exactly.
The...
Does that really exist anymore, or is that more of like? I don't think so.
I'm trying to think of, like, who are the teenagers crushing on? And I'm like, Jacob Elordi.
That's what I'm saying. But if it's Jacob Elordi, then I get it. It's like, well, he's a man. That's a man. So I think it's, like, positioning yourself. Like, I was thinking about even how, like, they don't come off as innocent. Like, these celebrities that are more, like, people's, like, general crushes now. They come, like, especially if you think about, like, tween boys or something. Or, like, even teen guys. I remember the crushes were, like, Kendall Jenner, Kylie Jenner, Bella Hadid. Actually, Bella wasn't that popular back then. I'm trying to think like 2016. Like I knew it was like
2016.
I think it was like when more like influencers on Instagram. So it was more like seeing like, oh,
the Dolan
Summer
twins.
Summer Rae was like a guy's version of that. So I'm thinking it's like more of like they were more sexual.
Oh, Livy Dunn.
Yes, exactly. Livy Dunn. Like I think like, because maybe like the celebrity itself is more sexual, it's like it's not as innocent. Like if you had a crush on like Harry Styles when you were a tween girl, like you had to go actively find stuff of him being like a bit more.
You had to go on like Wattpad and find The Unhinged.
Yeah, you had to go on Wattpad and find fan fiction if you wanted that like release of him. And if they were captured at a club kissing somebody, like that was crazy.
And she would get harassed.
Oh yeah, exactly. Either for like female or male celebrity, like it would be like this huge thing because they were meant to be that kind of kid. I mean, again, that's most of the reason why Disney Child actors go crazy. So I'm not, again, not advocating for that. But I think it's interesting that there's not really that.
Yeah.
Is it because they're, I would think maybe it's like those, like a TikTok celebrity or something? Like those TikTok
I mean,
guys?
I'm writing a podcast episode separate of this on purity culture.
Mm.
In the 2000s, there was a very like strong conservative purity culture with the Jonas Brothers and their purity rings.
Oh my God, yes.
And like, I don't know, I think in the 2010s, a lot of people realized how harmful that rhetoric was. So we kind of like pivoted in the other extreme. And it's trying to find like the middle ground of it. That's kind of hard.
Who was it? I think it was Professor Stern from my Comstu 10 class. And he said something, I think it was from the 19th or the 20th century versus the 21st century, that religion and sex became opposite. Like it used to be that like, hold on. Or actually, no, it was like, oh no, it wasn't religion and sex. It was death and sex. It was something like death was widely talked about in the 20th century. Like it was super celebrated and it was like, you should think about that all the time. And sex was hidden. And now it's the complete opposite.
That happened in the 60s to 80s. Yeah.
Can you tell
you
me
think
more about
so?
That?
Because sex is still kind of a taboo, no? Isn't it?
It's taboo, but like in the 60s, you had like the free love movement. Mm. So a lot of people started talking about sex openly. And then in the late 70s and 80s, you have the AIDS epidemic. So you're kind of forced to talk about sex. And then as a conservative response, people were like, don't have sex or you'll get AIDS. Yeah. And then you have in the 90s and the 2000s, the like purity culture, you know, the sort of exploitative like teen mom type of, you know, and then now in the 2010s, we're back to the other opposite of like freely talking about sex.
Well, that's true. I mean, you can say as much as I think sex is taboo and think on like a personal level of like, okay, I don't think we're ever going to be like fully open about it. I mean, like,
But if you think about it, like one of the biggest podcasts in the world is Call Her Daddy. And that's that started as a sex positive podcast.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I was 16 and listening to that and it was absolutely, I didn't find it interesting at all, but it was because it was the whole like, I don't even want to mention the episode that I'm talking about, but it was the...
Oh, is it the 3000?
Yeah. Let's just say that. And everyone's like, you have to listen to that. And it's like, definitely, girl, at that age, like, what the hell was I? 16? Like, I think even now, if you think about it, it's so, like, widely talked about that it's like... I think there's, like, a feminist philosophers used to say that a lot of, like, one day we're going to be taught that, like, the patriarchy is going to go so far that you're going to convince yourself that, like, sex work is, like, empowering or something like that.
Which we're in.
Which we're exactly in. Like, I think that has to be part of it. Like, you see, like, girls on OnlyFans literally selling themselves, and that's, yeah. Like, that's a... I don't know. Now yeah. I'm getting into a whole other thing. But it has to do something as, like, yeah. as a young girl, that has to have something on you. Like, there's no way if you see it that it's from this girl, the second a girl's, like, freshly 18.
I was raised in, like, super Christian purity culture, so I had, like, sort of the opposite of that. And now I'm, like, I don't know. I think I view it differently because of that. So I'm, like, you know what? I'm happy people are talking about it. Because, like, I've never had the sex talk ever.
With your parents.
Yeah. My sex talk was save yourself for marriage. That was my sex talk. Mm. Had I not gone to, like, a school that actually had, like, comprehensive sex ed, I would be lost. So honestly, I'm really happy that people are talking about it. And, like,
yeah. See, it is from that standpoint of view. And yeah. It's not like, because I think in some cases it can be, like, almost encouraging, like, sex, but in some ways it's also, it's not an encouragement.
I find it preventative. Like, I rather,
yeah, exactly.
You know that, like, exactly. I don't know.
Yeah,
but now you should more use TV shows about it.
Yeah,
Netflix. Yeah. There's much more education.
Oh,
about it.
Yeah. Sex Ed, great show. Yeah,
that was a great show.
Great show. Like, really, I wished I had. It came out when I was a teenager, but, you know, like, it's such a great resource. You know,
that is. I think it. You know, especially. But again, from what we said before, again, I'm saying a paradox here, because apparently yeah. teens aren't having those experiences, but now I'm saying they are.
Yeah. They're having them, but just later.
Later. And they are, like, they are awkward. So it is great when it's more widely talked about. But also, you know, maybe not as a provocative thing, just as, like, a normal thing.
I mean, is it that bad of a thing that you're having sex later?
No, that's the thing. Like, as much as it's not, because I think it can say two things. It can say, okay, maybe the spaces to go out and have that fun is being more surveilled. And at the same time, it's also because people don't feel as pressured anymore.
Yeah.
And things. Also, I don't know about you guys, but the fact that we're texting so much is also harder. I feel it harder sometimes to approach people because people are scared of directly talking to people because they're so used to texting.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a problem, you know, for relationships, also for teenagers. When I was a teenager, I didn't have a lot of experience at all because everybody was just on their phones at parties and, like, yeah. No one was approaching each other.
Yeah.
It takes off the courage that you need to have, you know.
And speaking to that, something that I really have is a fear of rejection. And I think this is just general to Gen Z of, like, you're forced to perform so much that you don't want to disappoint people. Yeah. So you're just, if you anticipate that there's going to be rejection, you're not even going to go for
exactly,
it.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, well, why would I go talk to this guy? Because there's, like, an 85% possibility that he's going to reject me. So I'm just not going to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, before, maybe people would have more.
Yeah, I think before people might have been like, you know what, I'm going to ask him out. If he has a girlfriend, who cares?
No.
Not who cares in the sense of I'm going to homewreck, you know, like, who cares? So there's other fish in the sea, you know?
Yes.
There is times where I find it's so normalized. Like, oh my God, it sounded so... Should we play a song?
We have a commercial break.
Oh.
Yeah, because we're almost going to hit the 30 minute mark. First thing I'm going to do is try to get this computer to work. Ad and then a song. I'm gonna play Tummy Hurts by Renee Rapp.
Ooh.
Yeah. I've been listening to it on my way to school and I'm like, this song is great.
Nice.
Yeah. So commercial, and we will be right back in like 5-ish minutes.
News sucks. We know. So why not join us for a cool show? Exploring the state of Canada's cursed media landscape this Saturday, January 13th. It's at the St. Jack's Center in downtown Montreal. It's the inaugural edition of the Harbinger Showcase live podcast recording series. Come and hang out. with Rob Russo, Harris Marks, and Nashua Khan. It's a media criticism panel combo with special guests from Palestinian Youth Movement, Reach Media, Sierra Club Canada, and more, plus an after party connecting left journalists and activist communities. It's like Canada Land, but anti-Zionist. Hopefully see you there.
Back, you're listening to Girls Meet World on ZKUT 98.3. It is 4:32. Cat.
I'm just gonna say I did really like that song. That was sweet. Okay, I thought about my thoughts. I recollected them. So where I was off is I was thinking about the rhetoric we even use now, and like even just how dating becomes so like online. And I think the most times I realize how insane it is, and is anytime I have to explain all the little secret messages that Gen Z has that has to do with social media. Oh my God, he liked my story. Oh my God, he viewed my story. Oh my God, I'm going to post it again so he sees it before the time runs out. Like, the more you, when you have to explain it to somebody who's so removed out of that, you realize like how insane
you're crazy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's like when you explain it to a friend about like, oh, he snapped me, but his, or he didn't snap me, but his snap score is going up, but I'm still left undelivered. Like, this is crazy behavior.
It's like such an art, complex art now.
Yes.
There's like the how to behave when,
yes,
when you're texting with a boy. It's like, oh, should I wait 3 more hours?
Yeah.
Oh no, he saw that I saw, and so maybe I should wait more. Or like,
yeah,
all these crazy, it's so much more complicated than just like real interaction.
My best friend, she's dating a guy whose name I forgot because I just call him Rat Boy all the time as a term of endearment. But when they started dating, I think they were together, they're together now for like 5-ish months, I think it's been. And I think I was talking to her and I was like, oh, how's your boyfriend doing? She's like, he's not my boyfriend. I'm like, are you seeing someone else? And she's like, no. Is he seeing someone else? No. And you're seeing each other every day and you've done all of this date stuff.
Yeah.
And you've done everything. but he's not your boyfriend? And she's like, no, because he hasn't asked me out. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Try explaining that to like your mom or your dad.
Exactly. Exactly. Once you have to start explaining the way these relationships work to like your parents, it's like, it's insane. But I'm not going to sit here and say that the chase hasn't always been part of like the dating game, because it has.
It has.
I mean, even if you watch like shows from the 90s, it's the same thing of, should I wait to call him for like a couple days after the date? So it's the same kind of vibe.
Jane Austen.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's a forever thing here. The cat and mouse, like the chase is always going to be there. But I think it's just exemplified into such another manner, because now you know that that person's on their phone all the time. The chase isn't as much as it used to be when, okay, it was just like, oh, but I'm going to wait to call him for 3 days, because you actually might be out there doing things and you're not tied to the phone that's like tied to the home phone. I don't know. And now like it's the same thing as you, that's the same thing you see, that they're active all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a, I don't know, it's some weird power dynamic now, because now it's a game of ignoring and not caring as much, when it's the most in your face it's ever been.
Yeah.
I don't know where I was going with that.
But to go back to dating, I think the thing with apps that I have noticed, as someone who has written a paper on it, they Amazonify the experience of dating to a level that's like really, really weird. Because I'm sure we all at some point are like, I'm bored. I'm going to download Hinge and see what single people are on there. And you forget that like you're kind of playing with like real people's emotions.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, so Alex is 6'2". He's from Concordia. He studies this. Okay. Oh, no, he watches The Office. Swipe left. And, you know, and like you try to like explain that in like real people term. And it's so weird.
Yeah, it really is. I think it's a reason why a lot of people are even so afraid to mention that they met on a dating app.
Yeah.
I had friends who would have like, they had been dating a guy for like a couple months and they had met on Tinder or something like that. And when it came time to mention to friends, they were like, well, I'm not telling them that story. We're going to have to come up with one. But like they were for real about it. It wasn't like a joke. Like they really wanted that to happen. Also, I recognize I'm being totally hypocritical with this, because I met my boyfriend on Tinder. So it worked out for me, and it can be possible. But it really is such an odd experience. I was talking about it.
The shame about it.
Yeah, completely the shame about it. And I do have it even now. There has been that thing of being like, are we really going to tell people we met on Tinder?
And you know what's so weird about it is that, like, again, we live in an age of loneliness where we're all on our phones. There aren't that many spaces you could go to, like, meet people. Because, again, I don't know about you. For me at school, I'm in and I'm out. Like, if today, if we were past like 4, I'm not on campus anymore. I'm on the bus on my way home. Like, I'm not staying longer than I need to.
Yeah.
And like the social spaces that you would have when you were before phones and before, you know, digital revolution, there's a lot less of them.
Yeah.
So where are you going to meet people? Apps are kind of like the catch-all solution to that. So it feels weird that like we're using the one avenue we have where there's the express purpose of like, because no other thing, there's the express purpose, unless you're doing like speed dating or whatever, of like, I'm trying to meet someone. So it feels weird that we have shame on like using the one avenue you have for meeting people and trying to explain to someone how you met someone, you know, to be like, oh yeah, we met on Tinder.
Yeah. I think one of the things that really ends up eradicating is the idea of course, when you end up starting on Tinder, there's always that intention already that you're there to date and you're there to only, you know, immediately, of course, because it's photos, it's there for who you're attracted to. Mm-hmm. So when you start chatting, it's never based on the, hey, I find you interesting. Of course not, especially for something like Tinder. And most it's like, hey, I think you're attractive. And already that puts a weird thing on the relationship, because most of the time, most of the best relationships start from like a friendship. And already that context is gone. And there's something about the mystery of it, that whole, again, the whole chase thing is kind of gone, because so now it's like this weird game of like, especially if you meet on Tinder, that like even the responding game is so odd, because we're both here for the same thing and then I'm supposed to pretend I'm not. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like Bumble too.
Bumble, yeah.
I was talking to a friend recently because she was like, should I download Hinge or Bumble? And I'm like, do not download Hinge. The algorithm is whack. It's not.
Hinge is weird.
Hinge is not what it used to be. It used to be the best app. Now it's like a cesspool. No offense if you're on Hinge. I'm also on there. but like with Bumble, if you're a girl, you have to message first. Mm-hmm. And my friend is like, ew, why would I message first?
Yeah.
And I'm like, because on Tinder, you had this problem where, like, guys would just match with everyone and they wouldn't, like, message back. So, like, the idea is that, you know, as a girl, you message first because women are more selective. So there's a higher likelihood that if a woman messages first, it's actually going to go somewhere. And she's like, ew, I don't like that. And I'm like, it's part of the chase. Like, it's just the rules are a little bit reversed. Like,
That is really true. I would never, I would be really, like, really apprehensive to text first. Really, especially if it was, like, no. I'm not going. But, yeah, no, I just think it's so odd. It's so odd. But, like, I was going, oh, yeah, I think about that a lot, about how most of the, like, relationships that I know now have either started from a dating app or you met at school. And, okay, that's very obvious for our age, but I think about, especially now, I'm very aware almost all the time about how this is the last time in my life. I mean, I don't even think
you're going to be around people your own age.
Around your age in this, like, complete, like, massive pool of people with the same interest, same, okay, somewhat trajectory, something like that.
And also, all,
like, living here.
All on the same level. Because, like, when you're in a workplace, you can't date your boss. No, you again, can't. You can, but it's hard. You can't date your supervisor.
That's completely true.
And if you do start a relationship with someone in the office, HR is involved. So it's a whole other, like, you can date someone for your class. Mm-hmm. The only ramification is that if you break up, it's going to be awkward.
Exactly. That's but it.
Then, now, you, when you meet someone, like, not on an app or anything, yeah, it's so much more powerful, I feel.
Yeah.
It's so rare. It's so
exactly. People hold on to it more. That's actually a great point. I've noticed that with some friends too, that especially if they meet a guy in a, you know, a more organic way or something that even infringes on a little bit of, like, super romantic. And again, that's a low standard now, or something like, oh, it just was this one time thing, we met at a party. You hold on to that connection like crazy. Because of course, that's a way better story to say, it was just, we caught each other's eyes and it was crazy. Yeah. Like, of course it's a, you know, it's what you're told from, like, a child, but really it's, like, just not the, it's not the situation anymore. I don't know. Or, like, remember there's even a thing, I see that in shows, or I remember, okay, I heard this from my parents, that they were really embarrassed that they met in a bar. That used to be, yeah, that used to be a thing too, because it's also, if you think, I don't know, it's a bar. You, people want, like, the standard can always get higher. You can always want something that's so, it's that meet cute story that you want to, you know, especially if the relationship goes somewhere crazy, you want to have that really crazy story to tell someone. I see it the most. There's this, it's my favorite account on TikTok. It's called Meet Cute NYC or something like that. Okay. And it's always, it's usually old couples that are walking on the street and the guy stops them and they say, ah, how did you meet?
Yes. Yeah. I saw it on TikTok.
Yeah. And it's great. And all of them, if not most of them, which is funny, as you know, I get they all probably are more than, like, 40 years old. All of them have these, like, wild stories of how they finally came together. I met her on this random bar one year, and then 3 years later, I saw her again, and I knew it was true. And, like, of course, you want to be the one that has a story like that, but it's just, it's not like that anymore. And then, yeah, again, you end up staying for connections that were made that organically, even if they're not that great.
Yeah.
That's the story.
Yeah. I stayed in a relationship way too long because I just did not want to go back out into the dating scene.
There is also that. There is also that.
Which is why, random caveat that really has nothing to do. You know, if you're on, like, TikTok, you know the, like, Roblox Minecraft gameplay while there's an when there's a MID asshole playing. And there's always a reoccurring one is always, I have been married for 10 years to my wife. My wife is great, but I feel like I'm missing out on dating. So I asked my wife for an open marriage, and now she's dating a bunch of men, and I overestimated my value on the dating market, and I'm alone, and I want to close the marriage. What do I do?
Oh, my God.
The dating scene, no matter how long, it's never as good as you think it is.
No.
It's not. It's not.
I think... No, that's just so wild. I was going to make some connection about, like, people who get married really young and rather... I used to search that up a lot.
And you feel like you missed out, but you didn't miss out on anything?
You don't really miss out. And I saw this girl on TikTok who something like... She got married to her husband when I think she was like 19. Like something wild. And all the comments were like, girl, you're going to... Like, I think she's 27 now. And they're like, girl, you're going to regret this. Like, you don't know... Like, you didn't get that time for yourself. And she's like, should I have... lessen the time with the person, like, you know, again, if they've been together for that long, clearly it's for a reason and successful. And she was like, should I have lessened the time to do what? Especially considering, again, what we all mentioned before of dating is not dating anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's something entirely else. What the hell is a situationship? Seriously. I even had friend out here.
Can you try to explain? Because I realize that all of our viewers are not on social media. So could you try to explain what a situationship is and a talking stage?
Okay.
Do you want me to explain talking stage?
Yeah, you go with
talking stage. So talking stage is the stage before you enter a relationship where you're seeing each other, but there's no, like, commitment. Yeah. So it's like you're seeing each other, but there's it's not we're dating.
You're getting to know each other and you're not exclusive.
And you're not exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're seeing other people, but you're getting to know this person. So you're in a talking stage. So you're talking before you know define the relationship.
And then if you're lucky enough, you can enter a situationship, which is now you know them and you've decided that's not enough for commitment. And I'm going to stay and continue to hang out with them. Usually, I don't think...
It's dating with all the aspects of dating minus the commitment.
Minus the commitment. And most of the time, at least in most cases, especially in high school, was they actually ended up being exclusive most of the time.
Yeah.
Just not by label. But they weren't seeing anybody else because the other person would get mad. It just had everything to do with that, I don't know, just...
It's the same with my friend of like, you've done everything, but yeah. He hasn't asked you out. So it's like, he's not my boyfriend, but you're not seeing anyone else. It's like, yeah. That's a situationship basically.
Yeah. I don't know. At that point of how long should a talking stage be? I've seen that on TikTok a lot. Like, it's been 4 months. We're still talking. Like, should I give up? Girl, like, after 4 months, you know you like him. It's always a one-sided thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, how long should I wait?
And there's no norm. There should not be any norms. I mean, it depends on the people. It depends.
Yeah.
It can be very fast or it can be long. And there's always this pressure of, like, oh, no, it's too short. You know, you hear a friend saying, oh, that's a bit short. You should... But if you know it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in some time now where dating is so open and free. It seems like that. But then it's also at the same time very restrictive, and we feel that we need to be complicated and not be as expressive with affection. That's a very odd point that I've noticed, that it's seen as weak to show that you're into somebody.
Yes.
That's such a wild concept. If you like, why?
Yeah.
It's insane. Like, what time? I mean, I get it's college now. So college, I get that now, of course, not everybody's ready for commitment. And also, I feel like that's a weird thing to say.
Also, I feel like most people in college, it's like, listen, most people you're going to meet are not going to want to, like, marry you right away. Yeah. They're aware that this is a college relationship. It might work out. It might not. So they're, like, along for the ride. Mm-hmm. That is to say, unless you're, like, I don't know, you only want, like, a hookup casual and you're getting with someone who wants an actual relationship. Like, yeah, maybe don't. But, like, I feel like most people, I don't know, unless you're, like, super religious, are not, like, dating to marry. So, like, part of me is, like, okay, well, what's the hang up?
Yeah, I don't know. There's such a weird thing. Like, what could be so wrong? Especially if your intentions are not to marry. And okay, let's say, and then it doesn't have to be a committed thing where it's so weird that it's almost like, okay, so now we're girlfriend, boyfriend, or whatever it is, partner, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the label is so strong. Like,
yeah.
No one says that has to off. Like, there's no such thing as even in a situationship, there still is the idea of a breakup. That still happens at one point. At one point, is there a point where you guys don't want to talk to each other anymore? That will be the same thing as a breakup. Mm-hmm. How long you've been doing that? Even people like, it's why I even see on TikTok girls who say, or guys, more specifically girls, who mention how they've had situationships that were more heartbreaking than relationships they were in. What the heck? What is that now? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dating is wild at this age.
Dating is wild at this age.
And we haven't seen that at other ages. It might be worse.
Oh, my God. Like, now I'm in my senior year, and I've had, like, Hinge and Bumble on my phone, and I've just, like, not touched it. And a crazy thing, I was talking to my friend about this. I was like, you know what's crazy? I can't really date anyone from McGill who's, like, international because they might leave.
Yeah.
I have this problem.
Yeah. So you're like, because I'm staying. Yeah,
it's terrible.
Yeah. So you're like, they're staying. So, like... If they leave, it's going to go nowhere. So might as well not even like try it right now. And I was talking to my friend and she's like, why are you complicating things for yourself? Like, you'll see when you get there. And I'm like, yeah, but like, I don't know. I think we just love making stuff more complicated than it needs to be.
Because I could even say the same thing for most of my friends here are international. And there is that constant like eating thing in my mind of there will be a time where I will not see these people. How often? Probably once a year, if I'm beyond lucky. Like, really, like, I think that's the thing about McGill specifically, is that you have people coming from everywhere. And, I mean, even for you, for example, do you see yourself staying in Canada?
No.
So, yeah. Like, a resounding no. And I think that's most people. And the intention is coming in to go back to Europe or go back anywhere else.
Yeah.
So, it works with friends, with dating. It's the same thing. And it is something that gnaws at me all the time, though.
Honestly. Yeah. Because you meet someone you like somewhere, but then you know you'll have to wait 4 months to see this person again. And you'll be like, maybe this person is going to just
lose interest.
Someone who's going to be around, you know? So yeah, it's kind of complicated. Yeah,
because I was talking to that with my friend. I was like, maybe I should go for someone who goes to like UDM or UCAM because it's going to be easier because like the odds is that they're going to stay here. Yeah. And yeah, dating's hard.
I think it's a thing for, something I think about a lot, even relationships in general is, so does it have to be, I mean, ideally, the perfect time would be I've settled everything in my life and I don't feel like moving anymore. And I somehow find somebody in that city.
There's no such thing as a perfect time.
Of course, that's never going to happen. Yeah. So relationship is like, again, it just relates back that it's like a compromise.
It has to be in the moment.
Yeah,
and a sacrifice thing. We keep thinking about the future and that's a problem.
Yeah. Also, going to the other extreme, I saw a tweet of someone saying there's something really toxic about like the, you know, love yourself movement. Mm. Is that I cannot self-love myself out of loneliness. Mm. And I've been thinking about that a lot because I'm like, yeah, because sometimes you do want to be like, I'm an independent woman. I don't need no man. But like sometimes you're like really lonely.
Yeah.
And like no amount of self-love is going to cure the void that needs to be filled by romantic love.
Exactly.
That is so, I was having a conversation like that just today. My friend was explaining to me how sometimes she really prefers being in a relationship. And she feels ostracized to even say something like that as a girl. And that we're taught a lot that that's like not being a girl's girl. You should want to be your independent, loving queen self. And those things are true independently. And yeah, of course, it's great. And it should be okay that you're comfortable alone. But it's seen as inherently wrong now to even say out loud that you're asking for a relationship. I have friends who are very actively looking for a relationship and will not admit it out loud. Because it's like, that. Well, that's now desperate. Leads me back to the same thing I was saying before. Everything is seen as a desperation call.
Yeah.
That's absolutely not the case. Yeah. And it should be, it's natural as humans. Of course, why would humans not want affection? That's what I'm saying. It's like we're all like in some weird psychosis here.
Have you seen the movie Little Women?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
The 2019 version? The new one. You know the scene where Jo is talking to her mom and she's like, because women can be smart and intelligent. Yeah. And, you know,
and
all of these things
of love or something like this.
But, oh, yeah. And, you know, and I'm sick of like a woman being taught that love is the only thing that she's good for. But, oh, my God, I am so lonely.
Yeah.
like, you really can't. Like,
can we make that the title of the episode? Yeah.
That is the title. Oh, my God, I'm so lonely.
Oh, my God,
or
I'm so lonely. Or, no, like, women can be smart, but, oh, my God, I'm so lonely.
That's a great movie. I feel like that should be my recommendation for the week. But you should watch it. It's great. Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
To listeners, you should watch it.
All ten of them. Have you guys seen Little Women?
Yeah.
I've seen the 1984 one. I saw the one with Elizabeth Taylor. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Not to get into a conversation about Little Women, but the one thing that it did multiple things right. But, like, for once, I understood the German professor, doctor, whatever.
Yeah.
When he showed up, I'm like, you know what? I get why she would get over Joe to be with him.
And he's a French actor.
Yeah, Louis Garrel.
Louis Garrel.
Yeah.
No, I'm lost.
Yeah, you cannot self-love your way out of.
French boys are much sexier. Of course.
Can I ask a question as we are winding down to the last minute of our show?
Yeah.
How do you feel like the dating scene in Montreal is different from the one in Marseille?
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming from Paris.
Oh, Paris. Sorry.
Of love.
Zoe's from, wait.
From Marseille.
Okay, yeah, Paris. Sorry.
Yeah. That's well, nice. Honestly, for me, I find it much simpler in Paris, in France.
But really?
But I think it's because I'm French, and here there's not a lot of French people. I think it's more something, because I can't really compare.
Yeah.
Like, I'm around McGill students who are, like, mostly Canadians, Americans. There's some French, but, like, it's easy to know all the French people of your age because, like, it's a small community. So I know kind of everyone. And, yeah, I think it's harder when with someone that is not your nationality to create a bond, you know. There's, like, this culture barrier. Well, I went for Christmas back in France and up. I met a boy super easily, like, just in one night. And it was like, wow, so easy. And, yeah. So I guess, yeah, I think there's a culture aspect that is important. So yeah. I can't really say. But also in the winter, like when it's like this and you don't want to go out, it's so much harder to meet people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say one thing I noticed from a friend told me this. She's from Barcelona, but she has lived in Paris and she said the same kind of thing that they also, I don't know about you, maybe I'm totally wrong, but she said there's not, the situationship thing isn't as like noticeable, and that it's not really talked about, like, in high school, it used to be a big thing to mention how many people you're talking to. Like, that was kind of like how you, it, like, your social currency was like, oh, well, I have a lot of people on the line, so it's all okay. Mm-hmm. But she was explaining to me that actually dating is a lot more secret. And of course, it's more taboo to the point that you're not mentioning that you're talking to all these people. And of course, the social currency is if you just have somebody, not that a multitude of people. I don't know. Is that the case?
The dating in high school, there was, it's like people are less shy about it. I mean, friends, like, if a guy likes me, he's gonna go see me and say, oh, I like you, like, directly.
Sounds a lot
well support. Here it never happened to me here, so I don't know.
I don't know from what I can remember. I think, how long did my talking stage last? 4 months, something like that, which I'd never do again. Because now it's like, if you like me, just tell me, please. Like, just, can we get this over with?
At some age, it has to end. There's no way. This can't go on.
Yeah, it's like the, you know, you would hear like, oh, I've been in a situationship for 7 years. And I'm like,
okay, now we're losing it.
We're losing the plot. Before, this was a great discussion.
This was. Got carried away.
We got really carried away. But I love that about that we have like a topic and then we just veer off into something completely different. There's something great about
Shout
that.
Shout out to that 9-year-old's Christmas wish list. She has no idea what she did for me today.
Before we end our show, we have a tradition where every month we share a recommendation, something we read, something we watched, something we cooked, anything that we think you should try out. So does one of you want to start? Do I start?
Please go first. I have to think.
I don't have any record. Okay. Great. Okay, so my current white boy of the month, because I know that there's like a general like white boy of the month. Mine is Harris Dickinson. He's in The Iron Claw. I'm going to go watch that. But he was also in Triangle of Sadness, which is a really funny and good movie. And I think you should watch it. And now one of my quotes that I say to my friend all the time is, it's not about the money. it's not about the money, Yaya. So, I think you should watch Triangle of Sadness. That being said, if you don't like seeing people puking, do not watch it.
Oh my god, great. Do you have one?
Okay, so it's not very original, but I bought skis, cross-country skis for this winter, and I tried. I really liked it, so I really recommend when you don't know what to do during the winter if you want to do sports. Cross-country is definitely nice.
That is great. That is a good idea, if I could afford it. But I'll keep that in mind. Okay, I have a show one on. Now that makes me seem less outdoorsy, but okay. I have to recommend Girls on HBO.
I've been doing a rewatch.
Have you? I'm on my like third rewatch. It is a crazy show. You are not going to like anybody. Like,
no.
You're and you might not even
Shoshana.
Shoshana. Yeah. Shoshana's probably me. But
me too.
You're probably not going to like anybody, but if there's ever a show to show you what it's like to be a mediocre, a little bit wealthy off, early 20s teen, or not teen. Well, there you go. That already examples how I feel like a teenager. And probably white.
Yeah.
You'll definitely relate.
Yeah.
But it's really intriguing, and they get into crazy, crazy shit. And
some parts of it are so cringe. Like, oh my God, when Marnie sang Power...
Oh my god, it's horrible.
I was just like,
it's horrible, but okay, I have to recommend my favorite episode. Just so
what's thing. Your favorite episode?
When she meets Charlie again after he's been like his
Panic in Central Park.
Yeah, exactly. And she like runs with her shoes off, and like that's a great episode.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna spoil the ending, but it got me.
One of the great things I really loved about the show is that like they're before we end, because I realize we're on a time crunch, all the girls of the show, they've only all been together 10 times through the series. Yeah, all four of them have ever been together 10 times.
Oh my gosh.
But you feel like it's more.
Yeah.
But what I love about it, like compared to like Sex and the City, is that it shows that like some friendships are just not going to be lifelong. You're not going to be BFFs forever. You're going to be BFFs for like a time, but like not of all of your friendships
and
are meant to be.
You're not even
like,
going
to
see each other that often.
Yeah.
That's the thing too.
My favorite episode is the second to last one. I don't want to spoil it. The second to last one. The engagement party where she's like, where she's like, why are all full?
Yeah. That's a good one. Thanks.
You should watch the show. It's really good.
Okay. Love you, Shoshana.
Yeah. If you have a crepe subscription, you should watch it. We're going to end the show. Okay. This was really nice for this January edition.
Yes.
Next month is February, month of love.
Oh, yes. And we're coming back in love and not lonely. That's the trajectory.
Should I try to do that?
I think it would be funny.
I will give you all the results. We're going to end the show. This is Jardin by Pomme. She's a French artist. And we will see you next month.
Thank you.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Good evening and welcome to the January 11th edition of Gray Matters. Tonight on the show we have a lecture entitled A Brief History of the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict. It was delivered in Brooklyn, New York on October 17th of last year. The lecturer is Norman Finkelstein. Norman Finkelstein is a distinguished independent scholar. He's long focused on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He is the author of many books, including Beyond Chutzpah, The Holocaust Industry, and Gaza, An Inquest into Its Martyrdom. He is the subject of the documentary film American Radical. So, here's tonight's lecture, A Brief History of the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict, by Norman Finkelstein.
Beginning in 2008, the people of Gaza undergo a succession of brutal Israeli massacres. The first major massacre occurs in 2008. Israel killed about 1,200 Gazans, including 350 children. It destroyed approximately 6,300 homes, and it decimated the infrastructure of Gaza. And then in 2014, the most savage of the massacres in Gaza, it was called Operation